Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
Right now, just even in equipment and sound stuff and all that stuff, you know, we're probably $8,500 just right now, just in things that we need to be able to move. Amen. To make that mobile transition. We're not even into our video stuff yet. We're working on that stuff, and then more kids' ministry. So, you know, I'm believing even this month, setting my faith in this house, and my wife and I are going to sow. We're going to give. We're going to give big. Amen. But believing that we can raise about $10,000 this month to transition into this move. Amen. Can I get an amen in the house? Amen. I mean, I'm thankful for a house that gives, and you know, but you know, if they don't know what you don't know what you're giving towards, you know, sometimes you're like, well, what do we? No, this is what we're doing. We're advancing the kingdom of God. We need stuff. Amen. We're moving into a 9,100 square foot building, and there's a lot of space, and we're going to fill that up. We're going to take this month, we're going to fill this house up, and then we're going to pray and believe the Lord, and we're going to fill that house up out at Whitehall or at the Commons area. I don't know if that's Fairmont or Whitehall, I'm not sure, but I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. Praise God. And for those that don't know, we will be moving our services in April. We'll be moving our Sunday services. Everybody say Sunday morning. Sunday night. So we're doing two services. So yeah, Pastor, I missed that first one, you can come to the second one. Amen. We'll be there for both services, and excited to see and you know, already just an excitement in the body of Christ today. Amen. But let's get into this text today. You know, wow, I love this, because you know, this week early on, as I was studying, and I was like, you know, this was a passage that really jumped out to me, because I thought, man, I believe that the Lord is asking the church. He's asking us individually. He's asking us to, you know, it's like to run. You know, really to begin and get ourselves, you know, into this position of running. You know, you understand that you have to walk first before you run, right? You have to learn how to walk, and I feel like at King's West Virginia, we've walked into a lot of things. We've seen God do a lot of things, but it's you know, we're now getting positioned to where we're going to run. There's so many exciting things happening here. There's life groups launching. There's leadership stuff taking place. And you know, Brother Justin, I seen him last night. He looked at me and said, he's like, you know, I feel like there's something every night of the week, but I love it. I love the fact that there's things that I can connect to. You know, please hear me what I'm getting ready to say. You don't have to be every night in a service or doing something, but there is something available for people to plug into. And I would say this, man, when I started as a believer and Christian, I needed as much as I could get into. One Sunday a week wasn't good. That didn't help sustain me. So that's why, you know, even getting into a men's group, getting into things, those things help. Amen. So, but praise God. Man, let's get into this. But, you know, Paul's saying something here, and you know, and I want you to see this, because we're not running the race in life to get a trophy. You know, we live in a culture today, right? Everybody gets a trophy, right? You know, but you know, I don't know, has anybody ever been through their trophy stash and had to get rid of their trophy stash? Where you know, I remember when I made the move to Hawaii, I went because my mom loved the trophies, right? We had the trophy cabinet, and my brother's trophies and my trophies, and you know, I would always, my brother's trophies were always bigger than mine. But one time I got one trophy that was like just much taller than my brother's, and I put it right beside his. So I was like, look at my trophy. My trophy's bigger than yours. But we're not running a race to get the trophy as a believer. We're not in competition with one another. But Paul knew something about the culture. He knew something about even, you know, sending this message, giving the message to the Corinth church. There were things they understood. They understood the Olympics. They understood what it meant to what the meaning of racing, what it might mean. But he also understood the terminology, even in this passage of scripture. You know, he used the word fight, and you know, that culture understood, you know, what it meant to fight. You know, boxing even back then was a thing. So but Paul's saying something. He said, we're not running a race to get a trophy, a perishable crown. You know, those trophies that I remember, I remember, like, there was a piece of me that when I threw them away, did you ever throw any of your trophies away? Are some of you still holding on to them? Let me look around. Let me scan the room. In the garbage. Well, there was that moment where, like, I had, like, 40-some trophies. You know, because, you know, that whole participation thing started when I was a kid. Everybody gets a trophy at the end of the year. Whether you win, you lost, you finish first, second, or third. You know, you if you're just on a team, you got a trophy. I think in the 70s that wasn't the case. You got a mouthful of dirt, praise God. Anyway, so, but there was that moment where I was like, you know, I got to get rid of these. These things are, you know, they're taking up a lot of space. Can I tell you that there's things in your life that's taking up space? Things that are perishable. Things that, you know, maybe at one point in your life maybe meant something. You know, it's always good to have a house cleaning. Amen. It's always good to, you're like, Pastor's touching some stuff today already, you know. But it's good to take a look and see what things that honestly mean something and things that don't mean something. Paul, in this text, it's very interesting because he's saying, look, he said, we're in this race of life. Can I tell you that we're all in it? We're all in it. But, you know, if you're a believer, you're a Christian, man, you know what? I got good news for you because, see, you go from faith to faith. You go from glory to glory. And that's the race that we're in as a believer because, you know, we're not running this race to get a prize. I'm not running this race of being a Christian to get a reward, an earthly reward. I'm doing it to get a heavenly reward. Amen? That you guys understand that this race that we're running, it's for eternity. It's not just, well, you know, I'm gonna be a good Christian this month, or I'm gonna do it this month, or I'm gonna do it this week. We're not running a race just for a month's time, or a week's time, or 2 weeks' time. You know, we're running it for forever here on this side, but it's to have our eyes fixed on what eternity even looks like. You know, I'll say this. You know, as I become older, I don't consider myself old. You know, Miranda's mom, I don't even say how old she is, but, you know, the other day she ran and her went out for her birthday, and she was like, yeah, I turned this age. And I looked at her and said, seriously? You don't even look that. You don't even look that age. And I believe it's because God has been a part of her life. So, you know, I don't even like to think about age in a sense of, you know, that I'm getting older. Because listen, I never move away from that place where God, where I'm coming off, when I'm coming off the track or I'm coming out of the race. Can I tell you that as a believer, you're always going to you have to choose to stay in the race, amen. But you have to understand that you're in a place where God's going to use you, and you can actually run. You can obtain the prize that's set in heaven for you. Here on earth now, you can obtain that. You can obtain that. You know, Paul, he used this example. They understood it. You know, I'll say this on a side note. You as a Christian, you as a believer, you do things in life to please God. You do things in life, you know. I wake up this morning. I'm not looking to, you know, do you do things to please people? Yes, but first and foremost, I have to please the Lord. I have to choose to please God first. Amen. Do I choose to please my wife? Yes. Amen. If you're married, yes, you need to do that. That's an important thing that you need to do. You know, but in my pleasing God, that's what sets my faith to be able to be pleasurable to my wife. Amen. But, you know, it's, I feel like I've already went another direction this morning, praise God. We run this race not to get a perishable, you know, a perishable crown, one that's going to decay, one that's going to fall apart, but an imperishable crown. One that's there, one that will remain. I tell you, it's so important that you understand that in your faith, you can remain. You can remain in your faith. You can stay in faith. You don't have to come out of faith. You don't have to come out of belief in God. Yeah, Pastor, I got this happening. You don't pull yourself away from belief and faith in God. You keep yourself encouraged in the things of the Lord. You know, let me get into really the message today. You know, I was this week, I was listening to podcasts, and I was listening to some leadership podcasts. And there was a podcast heading and title, and you ever see something pop up and it catch your attention? Well, this really caught my attention, and in the podcast, and I'm trying to find the name here. The title of this podcast was Never Play It Safe, Work Your Creative Muscles, Trust Your Intuition, Tell Great Jokes, and Become a Transformational Leader. That's a kind of a cool heading, right? Don't you guys think? I mean, like, I like the whole tell great jokes, like that. I don't like dirty jokes. I like good jokes, clean jokes. I don't like dirty stuff. But you know, it's like that caught my attention. But the one thing that caught my attention was the fact that it said never play it safe. Never play it safe, and that caught my attention. I was like, wonder what that's about. And I honestly, I begin to think about this message this week, and I begin to think about what I believe God wants to do on a planet Earth. I it's not just in Fairmont that I think God's up to big things. Amen? You guys understand. I think God's up to big things in our communities, in our region, in our state, in our nation. I think God's up to big things. But, I kept going back to that, and I kept thinking about never playing it safe. And I begin to it's just you ever just spend time with God and you're like in that place where it's like you're talking with Him and it's like, you know, Lord, you know I thought about this and it began to just get birthed in me, and I was like, yeah, you know, am I playing it safe? Am I as a pastor playing it safe? Am I as a Christian? Am I as a believer just playing it safe? And I thought, well, okay, Lord. Maybe I'm playing it safe. Maybe I'm not fully where I want to be. Am I talking to anybody today? I maybe not. I don't know. Maybe this is all created for me today to come and preach to me, for me to hear it. Amen. Because I realized something this week. Like once this began to get birthed in me, I was like, no, thank you, Lord. I need this and I need to hear this. And so, you know, I thought, well, man, I was never one really growing up that played it safe. Before Miranda met me, I was a risk taker. I remember I got into climbing rocks, and well, then I started climbing anything that looked high. You know, there's a bridge. I'll climb that bridge. I'll climb that wall. I'll rappel that bridge. And I just kept rope. I had a Jeep, and I kept rope and rappelling gear in my car. And, you know, I could remember being on 50. I thought, well, that looks like a fun bridge. It looks like 140 feet. I think I can rappel that bridge. You know, and it was just... That's kind of how there was a point in my life that I wasn't really playing it safe. I remember going to Seneca Rocks, looking up at the rocks, and like, I think I can get to that summit. I think I can. I don't want to hike it. I want to climb it. You know, only to find out there are truly a bunch of rattlesnakes. not just a small amount of rattlesnakes, because if they see you climbing up the front like how we were getting ready to do it, they're gonna you're crazy, get off the rock, you know, because we didn't have a lot of gear, anchors and hooks and things, so we had to do a lot of free climbing. But on the backside of Seneca Rocks, there is a ton of rattlesnakes. We didn't know that, but you know, we made the summit from the back from the backside, and so I was a bit of a risk taker in life. And I, you know, when I got married and I had kids, I don't think I was maybe as much as a risk taker. If there was water and it looked like a class 3 or 4 rapid, man, that to me was fun. You know, if I fell out of the boat, that was even better. You know, you're floating downstream in a life jacket, you know, just along for the ride. That's kind of how I was. You know, bridges, I don't know. I just, you know, I could remember being in Willing. I thought, man, wonder what it would be like to be on top of the suspension bridge in Willing. Man, I'm telling on myself now. And I was like, I can climb that. That's easy to climb, you know. And so I wonder what the view's like. So in life, we do that. We take risks. Some of you's like, you know, yeah, I've done some stuff or stupid stuff, or you know, maybe you went fast, or maybe you did this, or maybe you did that. Maybe you did things personally that, you know, man, that there were some risk involved. And I begin to think about this, and I begin to think about my faith, and I begin to think about my walk in God, and I begin to think, man, where am I missing it, Lord? Where am I not maybe taking the risk? Where am I not championing things in my own life where maybe I've been just cruising? Maybe I've stepped back and said, you know, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait. You know, I would say this move that we're getting ready to take, you know, in April, you know, maybe a little risky, right? Maybe there's an element of faith being called in. Amen. I believe that. But I'm looking at a group of people that are saying, no, Pastor, we can do this, and we're in this together. Amen. 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 That we're, Pastor Moran and I remember it was 2 weeks ago, and it's like there are a lot of things that, you know, you want to be perfect, and not every time is everything perfect. But I remember that feeling she had and I had, and I said, listen, the risk of this is worth the reward, because what we're doing on planet Earth is we're doing everything we can do to get people to heaven. Guys, Jesus is going to return. He's coming back one day. And, you know, listen, that is upon the church. I believe that, you know, and I don't want to keep my foot off this pedal. I believe that, you know, we've entered into a shift in this nation. God's breathing upon America. You know, it's not that he's ever quit breathing upon America. But you can feel even spiritually a shift right now in this nation. Now, you also sense fear. you sense the element of fear. That, you know, the fear. Where does fear come from? It comes from an evil one. Amen? God says, I don't give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So I know where God wants me to position. I know where God wants me. But I know on the other side, there's an enemy that, you know, he's going to want to create doubt. He's going to want to create fear. He's going to want to create all that in any person's life. We overcome fear. We overcome fear. You know, I thought about, you know, just like, you ever accidentally lock a computer up in safe mode? Anybody ever do that? And then it's like, you can't get into the computer? It's in safe mode? Like, some of you guys are like, what are you talking about? I must be talking pre-whatever. You kids are like, a computer? What's a computer? I have an iPhone. Is that a computer? Yeah, it's a computer. I remember a time that I locked my computer up in safe mode. I couldn't get in it. I remember this thing pops up, safe mode. And I hit that button, and then my computer is locked in safe mode. And I couldn't get into it. And I think sometimes that's what we do. We lock ourselves up in safe mode. You know, see, playing it safe is, honestly, it's about fear. Playing it safe, it's about fear. And fear is only optimized for survival. When we get into fear mode, you know what happens? We just get into survival mode. I just want fear. It's whatever it takes to survive. I got to go buy more beans. Got to go buy more water. You guys with me? Because see, this is what happens. We fear hits, fear happens, fear takes place. And so we get into this place where it's just like, Whatever it takes for me and my family, whatever it means for my family. Yes, your family. Amen. Praise God. Your family is important. Yes, you take care of your family. But, you know, can I be honest with you? Some people will get so wrapped up in that, they lose sight of what God wants them to be and do. And I'm not against you be everything you can be for your family. I'm very family oriented, so please hear what I'm saying. But, you know, I got to do this for my family. I got to do this for my family. I got to do this for my family. And they walk away from God. They walk away from God. They walk away from God. But fear, playing it safe, you know, it is. It's about fear. And fear, it only optimizes and it only positions us in that place for survival. And I'm telling you, we can't just be a church that's surviving. We can't be a church that's just saying, well, you know, we're just happy to be here. No, I'm beyond ecstatic about being here. I'm beyond myself because the living God lives in me. Jesus lives in me. There's something so great on the inside of you. Something so powerful on the inside of you. That when you become born again, you become alive in Christ Jesus. Do you know anybody that needs that? Nobody in here knows anybody that needs that? This is the thing. We have to get in our minds. We have to begin to shift and say, no, everybody needs this. My family needs this. My friends need this. Everybody I know needs this. I can be I'll be very honest. None of us want our family members to go to hell. Hell is a very real place. You know, it's beyond hot. But like there's this whole thing about running this race, and I believe this is the positioning that God is getting ready. You know, and I believe some have already started to run. But the church, when the church begins to run, when we begin to run towards a vision, when we begin to run towards a purpose and a cause, you know what God does? He blows on it. He gets behind it. He gets behind it. He gets behind it. He's going to get behind you. He gets behind you when you need a healing. He gets behind you when you need a miracle. When you need a financial breakthrough, he gets behind you. You know, because you know, and that's where we begin to kick out fear. Because see, you know, fear has no place. Fear has no place in my mind. If I think about how hard things are going to be, I don't move. If I think about positional things, if I think about how difficult these next phases are going to be, I don't move. I get stagnant. I stop. See, I don't want to live in survival mode. I don't want to live in survival mode. It's 2025. I don't want to live just getting by, Pastor. Because if I take that approach, I take that attitude in life, nobody else is coming with me. See, that's the thing that we have to shift here. People are coming with me. People are coming with me. I'm not going to play it safe. You know, I thought about this, and I thought about just be safe mode, and I thought about that, and I got any hunters in the house? Any hunters? You know, some of you guys that have hunted, some of that you even like weapons, that you get excited when you have a gun in your hand, and you know, and there's no greater feeling than to have a rifle upright, or maybe it's a bow. You've been holding a bow for 30 seconds. It seems like 12 hours, right? So, you know, that when they used to have this 60% let off, not this 80, 90% wimpy stuff that everybody went to. You know, this 35% let off, you'd be like here holding your bow. Anyway, flashback. Brother John, flashback. So, recurves. But you know, even in that, you know, it's like that moment that you see that big buck where you're and you go from safety to fire. You go from safety to fire, bruh, it's on. You shaking. I don't know, you ever been in a tree stand 20 feet up, 25 feet up, and you got a buck underneath of you? You can't take a shot because it's right underneath of you. I mean, I'm ready to fire. I'm ready to fire. And then the arrow falls out of your bow and lands on the ground. I mean, you know, anyway, moments of time. But you know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, have you just taken it off safety, and it's on fire, and you begin to feel these things begin to happen. These things begin to happen inside you. Your blood pressure starts to go up. You start to feel something. See, God, church, this is what I'm saying to you. We've got to feel something. We've got to begin to feel this. Not wake up tomorrow. Not look at today and say, well, you know, I got this going on. No. I've got to begin to feel this because my life, my direction, my purpose here on earth, it matters to other people. God didn't he didn't save me for me. Thank you, Jesus, that I get to go to heaven. Thank you that I'm free. I'm delivered. I'm healed. Thank you that you've done that for me. But now, But now my eyes, now my positioning has to shift. And it has to shift upon those that are around me. Those that I love. Yes, my family. Pastor Brad's not telling people to forgo their families. You understand that? But you please understand. I've watched so many people, you know, make every attempt to, you know, and they'll say things. Well, I got to do this or I got to do this because of this, because of this, because of that. And we can't forgo the Lord. We can't forgo the Lord. But I don't want to play it safe. Church, I don't want to play it safe. You know, I was Saturday, I felt it. You know, I've been trying to lay this out. And I'm like, Father, I know that you set things in motion. I know that we're running the race. And I know that every believer is called to run a race. And, you know, listen, not everybody's called to run the same race. You guys understand. Some people will become doctors. Some people will become nurses. Some people, yes, they'll be in pulpit ministry. Some people, you know, they'll do different things. But can I tell you, this is the honest truth. Every Christian, every believer is called to run the race that God gives them to run. With this in mind. With this in mind. Pastor's like, oh, he's adding something to it. With this in mind, people, we're all called to run the race of life for others. It's not, we're called to run a race to help position, to help get others into the kingdom of God. You know, see, I don't want to be in survival mode. I don't want to be that Christian, you know, because I know what, you know, playing safe, you know what, it'll rob me of creativity. It'll rob me of joy. It'll rob me of connection. Christianity is about connection. It's about, you know, it's about, you guys, anybody with me today? Because it's about connection. Christianity is about connection. Honestly, it's like even when I came in here today, people connecting. People, you know, hey, smiling. You know what a smile, you know what a smile does? It sends a connection to another person that you care. Powerful. Powerful. A smile, a hug, a warm greeting. A cold greeting, what kind of message does that send? You guys get what I'm saying? Like, God wants us to be, you know, He wants us to be connected. But if we're playing it safe, we miss that. God wants us to, you know, He wants us to, above all else, you know, when we move from out of the air of even playing it safe, you know what, we'll learn to love like Jesus loves. Paul says this, you know, and I just back to the text, it says, run in such a way that you may obtain it. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. You see, Paul, he could say this with certainty because he knew where he was going. Christians, believers, people, guys, children of God, you know where you're going. Know that God has a purpose and plan for your life. You know, you may say, "Well, I'm doing this right now, but I feel like the Lord wants to take me a little further or do this in my life." Yeah, amen. Amen. Man, can I tell you that in 2010, before we ever launched out into full-time ministry, I could feel it. I could feel the change. I could feel God's doing something, and I'm very uncomfortable. Guys, you know, that uncomfortableness is, you know, don't be, you know, I'm going to leave that alone. It's okay to get uncomfortable. You know, please, you guys, it's okay to feel that feeling of uncomfortableness. Pastor Brad, we're going to do some stretching this year. We knew that. We've seen that early. It's going to be okay. You know, look, Brother John, we're getting a bigger parking lot. I don't even know what to tell you because we got the whole mall. And, you know, it's like, that's going to be uncomfortable. Well, you know, we got to keep all the cars over here because they want us to keep over here. But the one guy want to park at Taco Bell. I guaranteed. You know, I'm going to park over here at the, I want to be the first in line at the Chipotle. You know, they ask us to bring all of our parking over here. There'll be challenges. Amen. You know, there'll be challenges for our ushers, for our security, for you know, every. There'll be challenges everywhere. And I'm saying, okay, it's okay. It's okay to be uncomfortable. It's okay. It's okay to have this challenge. You know, it's okay. It's going to be okay because see our purpose, our direction, our call. It's not for us. You know, to beat ourselves up at the end of the day. We did this wrong. We did that wrong. No. Our focus is people. Our focus is people. Paul knew this. He knew his purpose. I love this because he said, "Look, I'm running this race." I'm running this race. You know, but nothing, and this is what I love about Paul. Nothing gives confidence and guarantees dignity like certainty. Nothing gives confidence and guarantees dignity like certainty. Because see, Paul knew something. Go back to in verse 25. Pull that up. And anyone who competes the prize is temperament all things. Now to do it, obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Go back to verse 24. Do you not know that those who run the race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Paul knew something though, and even in this text and even in this passage of scripture, he knew was certain. I thought about this and I was like, Lord, I know for certain that in 2025 you want to pour out your spirit in a greater measure. Can I get an amen? Guys, amen. Can I get an amen that God wants to pour out his spirit on your life and in your life and in your family's life greater now. He wants to do that. Amen. See, God wants to do that. I'm certain of that. You know, I started thinking about scriptures in Isaiah chapter 2. I'm certain that, you know, the Bible says that in the latter days, you know, that the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, that all the nations shall flow to it. That's a prophetic word given to the church, that in the last days, this is what's going to happen. I'm certain of that. I'm certain, you know, in Acts chapter 2, that it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. I'm certain of that promise given to the church, given to the body of Christ. Pastor, all flesh? Yeah, females, males. Yeah, God's going to do that. He's going to pour out his spirit. I'm certain of that. I'm certain of, you know, you'll see in Romans 10, I'm certain of the scriptures, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the confession of the mouth, one is saved. You receive salvation. I'm certain of it. But there are people that aren't certain of the promises of God. There are people that waver in the promises of God. Our job, church, all of our jobs is to help people find Christ. That's my job. That's your job. Help people find Christ. Help people find Christ. I'm in the race. Lord, I'm in the race. What is it, Lord? I just kept going back to that question. I'm in the race, Lord. You know, I can look and say this. You know, we all can be, I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing enough. You know, we can all feel like we're not doing enough. But then and as I was thinking about this yesterday, I was like, no, I got to quit thinking about I'm not doing enough and say, what am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to change tomorrow? You know, I thought about this race thing. I it's been a fight for me. Over the last few weeks, it's a fight for me. Yeah, there's things that I fight, but you know, I've been back in the gym, and I was like, I've been in the gym, and I went into my second workout this week, and I'm 53. I'm like 52. I'm 52. Brian's 53. So that's how I base my age. No, because we grew up together. So he's just a little bit above me. So you're young. You're a young man. Praise God. So that's how I know how old I am by how old he is. So. So anyway, that's true. I'm being serious. So, but I was in the gym, and I was the other day. I was like, I went to stretch. You know, you ever just stretch? And I was like, pop, pop. What is that? Sort of walking around the gym. You know, it's like I'm in this race. I'm in this race of life, right? I'm in this race, and you told me take care of yourself, take care of your body. You know, I'll be honest with you. I don't need a diet plan. I need a lifestyle change. I don't diet. I don't think I've ever went on a diet. You know, diet of Mountain Dew maybe, but I've never been on a diet. I just drink Mountain Dew for a whole day. Amen. So what we need is lifestyle changes. But see, the thing about life, the race that we're in, man, it's fun. It's enjoyable. It's everything that you it's everything that you desire. Anyway, I'm sorry. I jumped out of that and come back because, you know, as I was finishing up yesterday and trying to clearly hear from God, I was, Lord, am I playing it safe? Am I playing it safe, Lord? Lord, what do you want me to do? You ever get brave to ask that question, Lord, what do you want me to do? Can I be very real with you? You don't have to sit around and wait for a week, 2 weeks to get an answer. I'm still waiting on the Lord. I'm still waiting. No. You don't have to wait. Get in the Word. Get in the Scriptures. You'll begin to. God will release some things to you. He'll give you some stuff. And I was like, Lord, what is it? What is it that I'm missing? And it was funny because I began to think about this message, and I began to think about this word. And honestly, it's like, Holy Spirit, I need you. That's why I was nervous even about preaching this today. Holy Spirit, I need you. And in my spirit, I heard this yesterday from the Lord. And I actually had a T-shirt made, because like when the Lord spoke this to me, I was sitting at the house. Miranda, it was funny yesterday. I finished my T-shirt, and she's like, "You spelled a word wrong." And I was like, "No," and I didn't. But everybody's looking at it now. But the Lord spoke this to me, and He was like, "Who are you bringing? Who are you bringing?" Guys, this was to your pastor. Who are you bringing? If you're going to go tell people that this matters, you're going to go say, we got to build the Go Team up because we've taken two phone calls from facilities that want people to come in and pray with them to make sure people are saved. Guys, we need help. And it was like, we just need people to say, yeah, I want to come and help. I'm not going to come beg people to do it. Come and be a part of stuff. Come and be a part of seeing lives changed and transformed. But I was like, the Lord hit me with this. He's like, who are you bringing? And I was like, that's it, Lord. That's it, because if we're going to change this, if we're going to change the culture, we're going to change this mindset in our churches, that our eyes truly have to come off of us, and our eyes have to begin to be focused on those that are around me. Amen. We believe that this is a year of doubling. You know, and I've said it already many times over the last month. I've made the comment: if one person brings one person or increases one person, we double. I'm not satisfied with that. You know how many messages I sent out yesterday to people? If you're here and you got one, praise Jesus. I don't think anybody's here that I sent a message out to. But some of them will be here tonight. They told me, they said, Pastor, I can't make it in the morning service, but I'll be there. Thanks for sending me a message. Hey, just praying for you, thinking about you, love you. Do you need anything? You think, I don't want to be disruptive. I don't want to be in people just can't handle that. Guys, if Jesus is coming soon, I think it's time for us to up our game a little bit. Quit allowing the enemy, quit allowing the devil to dictate, whether we call someone, listen, just to call someone and say, hey, I'm thinking of you. Can I pray? Is there anything I can pray with you about? 90% of the time, that door's pushed open. Boom, just like that. And what do? You do the very thing you ask. You don't give them some prophetic word. Don't prophesy over them for 27 minutes. Pray for them. Show them the love of God. Show them how God matters. That's what you do. But when the Lord hit me with this, who are you bringing? I was like, okay, Lord, challenge accepted. Challenge accepted. Church, let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Challenge accepted. Challenge accepted. So, it's crooked. I've never used a heat press before. I was like, never been to Hobby Lobby other than one time with Miranda. When I got into Hobby Lobby, the one thing I figured out, there's a lot of guys that go to Hobby Lobby. I'm looking around. It's like, man, this must be a pretty big time store for guys. Guys, I'm seeing guys in cowboy boots and blue jean jackets. I mean, you're not your normal Hobby Lobby shoppers, right? This guy looked like he's from Texas, right? Mud on his boots, and he's over in the craft section. I was like, okay, I'm in the right place. You know, I'm in there looking at T-shirt stuff. This lady's trying to sell me a cricket, and I don't know what's a cricket. I know what a cricket is, you know, the kinds that make noise, right? And then they get the kinds that make T-shirts. So I was like, I just want a T-shirt. I want to make a T-shirt. She was like, T-shirt? Who comes into the store and wants to, do you have anything press on letters? I mean, yeah, I know where you need to be. It's in aisle 14. Let me show you. I'm over in the cricket. Got all this stuff picked out, and I'm ready. And she was like, you have to have this machine to do all this. Okay. See, my job, your job, is to help those run well. We run well, yeah. We set our faith. We set a course. We run too. But see, my job, your job, is to help those run well. You know, if I'm not thinking that way, if we don't think that way, we never grow. That's the reality. We never grow. You know, my job, your job, is to help those run well. See, the church, the responsibility of the church, you know, why invite somebody to church? Why bring somebody to church? You're showing people love. You're showing people care. I mean, and honestly, if you have a hard time inviting people to church, please don't take this the wrong way, but examine yourself. Please. It's a self-examination I've done all week long. Lord, we're going to grow. We're going to grow this thing. I believe that. I believe God wants to pour out His Spirit. Everything I'm preaching, I believe. I believe wholeheartedly. I believe it. But like, you know, if there's something in you, well, you know, I got this little thing going on with my life right now. I just can't invite anybody because I'm not perfect. I don't have this figured out. Or the pastor said this, and I'm afraid he might do this or do that. And you know, 125 different things will flow through your head. But you know, this is the time and this is the hour that we got to put all that stuff aside. They may not like my preaching or Pastor Miranda's preaching, but they may love somebody's life group. Amen. You know, I don't come to hear him preach. I come because I love my life group. I love what takes place in the church. I love the kids. They have a great kids ministry. Hate the preaching, but I love the kids ministry. Man, they've got great coffee in that house. That's why I go every Sunday. So listen, this is what's got to shift. Who am I bringing? You can make your own T-shirt, Hobby Lobby. I got about $22 in this. They had shirts, T-shirts on sale. I've got another T-shirt design idea coming in about two more months. So. But see, our job as a church, we're called to show people love and care. We're called to build community. Church is community. I'm telling you what, this is a good community. This is a community I'm glad to be a part of. I'm glad, there's nothing better. You know, I'm how happy it makes me when I walk in and people smile? That people show love, they show care, they're genuine about it. It's not fake. It's real. I can be up there on the back deck hollering down at Brother John. Brother John, how you doing? He's like, I'm doing good, with a big smile on his face. The role, the responsibility of the church is truly to share this message of hope. That hope is Jesus Christ. You know, and we will have that opportunity. You'll have that opportunity this year to share the message of hope. We're going to run this race. We all need that message, right? I've needed that message to get me saved. You needed that message to get you saved. People around you need that message. They're not ready for it. Says who? Says you many times. Not the Holy Spirit. Says you. Because you've created some kind of fear in your mind. You've created something in your mind. You know, they're just not ready for it. They can't handle this church. They can't handle tongues. They couldn't handle people falling out in the spirit. You know, what if that happens at church? Man, you guys listen to me. We allow the Holy Spirit to let the Holy Spirit do what He does. When the first time I was in church hearing somebody speak in tongues, I was like, what was that? It's a whole nother thing. But you know what it did? Because I was a believer, you know what I did? I began to search out the scriptures. I began to say, okay, what is this? What is this? And I began to ask questions. Church, ask questions. Don't make assumptions. Ask questions and teach people when you're bringing people. Hey, ask questions. Let's go talk to the pastor. Let's go talk to a life group leader. Let's ask questions. Why this or why that? Why the order of the service or whatever it is? Ask questions. But see, our job is to help people run well. Back to that, but it, you know, it's building community, sharing a message of hope. And let me close with this today. With this is because I believe that if we'll own this and be a church without excuse, we'll own this and we'll take personal responsibility for this community, things blow up. Oh yeah, I got this plan or I got that plan. If we take personal responsibility for this community, it blows up. God's getting ready to blow His Spirit all over this nation. And I've asked, Lord, why not here? So, it's 2025. Who you bringing? You got to own it. You got to own it. Who you bringing? Listen, guys, every soul matters to Jesus. Every head bowed this morning. Every soul matters to Jesus. Every soul matters to Jesus. If you're here today, you'd say, Pastor.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.